And in your handout, it says that angels are spirit beings that God created to glorify Him and to assist Him in His work. And they are mentioned over 250 times in the Bible. So I want you to write that in your handout, that angels are mentioned over 250 times in your Bible. Now, the interesting thing about that is that when the Apostle Paul is writing to the church, to us, the body of Christ of today, angels are only mentioned about 13 times, 13, 14, 15 times. And in none of those references are angels said to be ministering unto us. And the question is, why? You know, what part do angels play in God's program for the church today? Do we need angels? I mean, I think that's a valid question. Do I need an angel in my Christian? I mean, I've already got one angel, and her name's Denise, you know, but good, huh? Amen. And she is, I tell you, but you know what I mean. Do I need an angel? That's a valid question. You know, the world is quite enamored with the subject of angels today. Even Hollywood has capitalized on the subject. How many of you ever heard of the show Touched by an Angel? Yeah. How many of you have either seen a part of that in the past or, you know, you've heard of it? How many of you? Yeah. It was on from 94, I believe, to 2003. And it was very popular. It was on for 9 years, and it was supposedly following, you know, these angels and what they're doing. And so the world has even capitalized on that. You can go online and quickly find all kind of sensational stories about people and their supposed interaction with angels. But you know, here's what I want to teach you, folks here at Crossroads, and that is this: people's experiences are not what we base our beliefs on. That's very subjective. I mean, someone's experience, I mean, that's usually they're the only ones there, so there's nobody even to verify it. And if somebody says, I had an experience where, you know, during the night last night, I had an experience and had interaction with an angel. I mean, what if they just ate too much pizza the night before, you know? What if they had too much pizza and popcorn? So, I mean, you know, aren't you glad that we have something better to base our belief system on than people's experiences? I'm glad that we have something more sure than that. And of course, what we have to base our belief system on is the truth of God's holy word. What does God's word say about it? No matter what the subject is, we can go to God's word and say, okay, what does the Bible say about that? Now, a few weeks ago, I threw a chart up here, and on the chart, I don't have my highlighter again, or my pointer again. We got to start getting that, guys. If we can get that, Mike. We're keeping you busy, aren't we, Mike? Mike is not supposed to be on duty today, but he's already made two runs down. So, all right. Oh, mercy. There's a chart here I threw up here. And Paul, in Ephesians 2, breaks all of biblical history down to three sections. He calls it time past, but now, and the ages to come. And you notice in time past in your Bible, you notice that in the time past program in your Bible, that the Gentile nations, which would be us, okay, most of us in here are Gentiles, we're not Jews, we're not Israel, the Gentiles were kind of on the outside looking in. There was this middle wall of partition. God was dealing with the world through the nation of Israel. They were His chosen people. And God's dealing with the world through Israel. And so the Bible says that we had no covenants of promise. We were without hope, without God in the world. And so in time past, Israel joined that, or they enjoyed a favored status or a favored approach with God. Well, then Paul says, but now in Christ Jesus, okay, that's right here, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes back here were far off, we were strangers from God's covenants of promise, he said, now you've been brought near to God by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so today, God is forming something altogether new in this but now period called the church, the body of Christ. So for the last 2,000 years, we've been living in this but now period in which Israel does not enjoy a favored status. His prophetic program for them has been temporarily suspended, and God's forming something new called the church, the body of Christ, in which there is no Jew and there is no Gentile. We're all on equal footing, and this is the grace period, see, that we're living in today. Now, Paul, though, goes on to say that in the ages to come. So now we're out here in eternity. You say, when do the ages to come start? The Bible teaches that one day Christ will return for us, the church, this new organism he's forming, called the church, the body of Christ. Those who have put their faith in Christ are part of that body. Christ is going to return. We'll be caught up to meet him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And Paul said we're going to occupy heavenly places, that in the ages to come, God can show forth his grace and his mercy to us. So in the ages to come program, when we compare this with other scriptures, we find that when we occupy our heavenly positions, that God's going to continue his program that started back here in time past with Israel. He's going to come back down to the earth, and he's going to give Israel that kingdom that he promised them. That's the ages to come. Now, what we find is that when we study subjects of the Bible, that they sometimes change from program to program. If you're in the time past program, God works a little differently because he's working through a nation than, say, he would here in the grace period that we've been living in for the last 2,000 years. And then God's going to work, of course, differently out here in the eternal ages to come. So we have to put Scripture in its proper context if we're going to understand it. We can't just pull a verse here and pull a verse there, and you know, that's how you end up with false religion and false doctrine. Oh, they're quoting the Bible, but they're ripping verses from maybe a time past passage or an ages to come passage and then trying to shove it over here in this period where we're living. So we have to be careful that we rightly divide the Word of God. We make the proper divisions that God has shown us in His Word. Now, one of the subjects we're studying is angels. Well, what we find as we study the Bible this way is that in the time past program, angels are mentioned 200 times. A lot of mentions of angels. You go over here to the ages to come, and those scripture passages dealing with the ages to come, you've got about 100 references to angels. But when you come to our time period, right here, this grace period that we're currently living in, the but now, Paul says, in which we've all been brought near to God by the blood of Jesus, there's only about 13 references to angels. And never are they said to be ministering to us. We learned last week, in fact, we teach angels today. We teach them something about the wisdom of God. And so we learned that last Sunday morning, how we teach angels today. And, you know, do I need an angel to come and instruct me? Yes or no? No, because I have the completed Word of God, and God's given me His Holy Spirit, the author of that book, to teach it to me. So what I want to do this morning is I want to continue to look at some angelic ministries in the time past program, and then I want us to compare that to how God has equipped us in this program, the but now period of today. I want us to see how God's equipped us in comparison to some of these angelic ministries in the past. So having said that, and that kind of is your introduction this morning, I want us to go to your handout, and I want you to get a statement there, okay? In time past, it says angels are seen giving comfort to those in need. Angels are seen giving comfort to those in need. For example, in Genesis 21, an angel comforted Hagar when it looked like her son Ishmael was going to die. An angel came and comforted her. Another example would be when Christ went out into the wilderness for 40 days. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. The devil put him through a series of temptations. When those temptations were over, the Bible says that an angel came and comforted him after that was over. How many of you are warm this morning? Raise your hand if you're a little bit warm. How many of you are cold? How many of you are just right? Comfortable. The just rights do have it, but I'm a little warm, let me tell you. I was hoping a bunch of you would say, I'm hot. All right, so an angel comes, and angels would bring comfort a lot of times to people. Now, the question is, what about us living in the present church age, the but now period? You know, are we promised that angels are going to comfort us in times of sorrow and discouragement. By the way, how many of us go through times of sorrow and discouragement? We all do. Man, we all go through. Can I have a little bit more in the A's, Dennis? We all go through times of sorrow. We go through times of discouragement. We go through times of despondency. We go through times of discouragement in our life. I do too. We all go through these times. Now, I've been saved now for over 30 years. I can't believe that. I was thinking about that today. I've been saved and I've known the Lord Jesus as my Savior for over 30 years. And I got to tell you that through all the different times in my 30 years that I've been discouraged or despondent or sorrowful, I personally have never had an angel come and comfort me. But I have some really great news for you. In your handout, it says, we have something far better than an angel to comfort us. We have the Comforter Himself. We have the third member of the Trinity. We have God the Holy Spirit to be our Comforter today. I want you to go to John chapter number 14. I said 16 earlier. Go back to John 14. All right, look at verse number 16. John, we're kind of going through. What are the first four books of the Bible? Same with me. Our New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. All right, so we're in John. We're in the fourth book. Look with me at John 14, verse 16. Jesus is talking about something that's going to happen in the future. Look at verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another. And what's that? What's the word? Comforter, capital C. That He may abide with you forever. Even, now He's going to tell you who the Comforter is, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him. For He dwelleth, now look at this, for He dwelleth with you and shall be, future tense, where? In you. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. So Jesus is going to come to us in the person, the third member of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 26, same chapter. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Go over to chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse 26. It says here, Jesus said, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. Look at chapter 16. Okay, go over to verse 7. Chapter 16, verse 7. Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. Jesus Christ said, I'm going to send you the Spirit of God. And He calls Him and identifies Him as the what? Comforter. The Comforter. Now, I want you to take your Bible. Remember, we're learning the books of the Bible in the New Testament. Say them again with me. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We've got a transitional book in there that takes us over to our church age. What's that book? The book of Acts. And then what's the very first book Paul wrote? Romans. So you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Does anybody know the next one? 1 Corinthians. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians. So right after Romans, you have Romans is the first book Paul wrote to the church. Then the next book we have is 1 Corinthians. Then we have 2 Corinthians. Let's learn these all. Let's really make sure that we learn the books of the New Testament this year, and let's make that a goal. That way, when I say a book, boom, you can go right to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and look at verse number 3. 2 Corinthians 1, 3. All right, look at this great passage. Now follow the wording here. Paul writes, and he says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all what? Comfort. Now look at verse 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. By the comfort, how are we going to comfort them? Well, we're going to comfort them by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, man, they were going through some suffering, some trials. He says, so our consolation, great synonym for comfort here, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Now, let me ask you a question. According to that passage, when you're going through suffering, when you're going through trouble, who is the person doing the comforting there? God Himself. He calls it the consolation aboundeth by Christ. And of course, we know when we cross-reference, He's talking about God the Holy Spirit. When we're going through trials and we're going through sorrow, we're going through despondency. Listen to me, church. God doesn't dispatch an angel to come and comfort you. God Himself brings comfort to our hearts internally if we allow Him to do so. How many of you have ever experienced the comfort of God when you went through a trial, huh? Where He comforted you and ministered to you. In your handout, it says our comfort doesn't come outwardly from an angel today. But our comfort comes inwardly from the Holy Spirit. We just read about that. Our comfort comes inwardly from the Holy Spirit. There's a verse on the screen here. After you write that in, we'll bring it up. Acts 9, verse 31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the what? Comfort of the angel. Is that what it says? No, the comfort of the who? Holy Ghost, and they were multiplied. In Romans 15:4, it talks about the comfort of the Scriptures. Well, that's this. So what am I telling you? What am I teaching you today? The Christian in this age of grace, if you're part of the body of Christ, you've been saved, you know the Lord, you can experience comfort 24 hours a day. As you read God's Word and the Holy Spirit applies its truth to your heart and brings comfort to you, you can have God's comfort from God Himself 24/7. Isn't that good news? You don't have to wait for an angel. You don't have to hang around hoping an angel shows up. You've got comfort 24/7 because you got this and you got the Comforter Himself living inside of you. You know, you wake up in the morning and you never are prepared for that phone call in which it just changes your life. You know, you wake up in the morning and you get your shower, you brush your teeth, at least we hope you do that, you brush your teeth, and you go about your business and then that phone call comes. And I'll never forget when I got that phone call. And it was my brother, one of my brothers. And he said, Dan, Dad has had a massive heart attack. He's in a coma. He's unresponsive. You need to come home. And I remember as we made that trip to Missouri, and I remember over that day and a half in which Dad lived until he passed away, a day and a half after we got there, the comfort of God was so real to me because I was very close to my father. We were just good buddies, good friends. And I remember that comfort that I couldn't explain that came from the Holy Spirit. Did I cry? Absolutely. Did I sorrow? Absolutely. But did I despair without hope? Did it completely just debilitate me to where I couldn't function? No. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God comforted me. And it was the strangest thing because even in the midst of sorrow, I had a peace and I had a comfort that I couldn't even explain. Some of you out there know what I'm talking about because you've experienced the same thing. And you know, I'm so glad that when I got that phone call, I'm so glad I didn't have to sit around waiting on an angel to come. I'm glad that immediately I had comfort because I had God the Holy Spirit living inside of me. I had the Comforter Himself. See, that's a unique privilege of this dispensation that you live in today is that the moment you get saved, God's Spirit, the Comforter, comes to live inside of you, take up residence in you. They didn't have that in time past, but we have that today. We have that. The second thing I want you to look at in your handout, and really the last thing this morning, is that in time past, when we look at that time past program, angels are seen strengthening and empowering others. Angels are seen strengthening and empowering others. I got an example there in your handout. It says there in your handout that an angel strengthened the prophet Elijah when he was weak and he didn't feel like he could go on any longer. Elijah had just won a great victory over the 450 prophets of Baal. And he won this great victory over these prophets of the false god Baal. And fire had come down from heaven. And Elijah the prophet had won this great victory. And boy, whenever you're on the mountaintop, watch out, because there's usually a valley right around the corner. And Jezebel, the king Ahab's wife, she told Elijah, "I am going to kill you." And so she puts out this decree, basically, that she's going to kill Elijah. So Elijah takes off running. He flees out into the wilderness, the Bible says, and he collapses exhausted underneath a juniper tree after he's been running. And the Bible says that he fell asleep, and after a little while, an angel came, woke up Elijah. And when the angel woke up Elijah, it's kind of a neat story there in 1 Kings 19, because when the angel wakes him up, the angel had been cooking. Angels can cook. That's why you can cook so good, Denise. You're an angel. Angels can cook. The angel had gone over there and made some cornbread there on the fire. And had got him some fish, you know, rolled it in cornmeal and pan fried it for Elijah. Now, I didn't quite all happen just that way, but I'm imagining, okay? Because the Bible says there's this fire, and there was a cake baking on it, you know, so some type of bread. So the angel takes the stuff that he's cooked, feeds Elijah, this discouraged, despondent prophet that can't go on. He's exhausted. He's tired. Feeds the prophet, lays him back down to sleep. And then after a while, wakes him up, feeds him, puts him back down to sleep. And he told him, "You better eat," because he said, "The journey's too hard for you if you don't." So this angel comes and strengthens Elijah when he felt like he couldn't go on. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, there's a verse here, let's bring it up. Luke 22, "And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him." Now the question is this, these are all time past, but what about today? When we need strength, when we need power, do we pray that God will send an angel to empower us? Again, we have something better than an angel. In your handout, it says we have the greatest power source on the earth dwelling within us. We have the Holy Spirit of God. Not only does the Holy Spirit bring comfort, as we talked about, but the Holy Spirit lives inside of us to provide us power and strength. Jesus told the disciples, he said, "Hey guys," this is right before he went away. He ascended up to heaven. He said, "Hey guys, I'm going to go away." He said, "But you're going to receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come on you. And you're going to be witnesses unto me." And he did that. He sent back the Holy Spirit to empower the apostles. And now today, Paul reveals to us, the moment that we believe on Jesus Christ, the moment you trusted Christ, Christ's Spirit comes to live and dwell within you. So how does God strengthen somebody today? Do we need strength sometimes? Yes or no? Yeah. Do we need divine power? Yes or no? Yeah, we need it. Well, how do we get it today? Look at the verse up on the screen, Ephesians 3:16. Paul said that he would grant you, that God would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be, and notice the word here, strengthened. To be strengthened with might, not by an angel. He said he's going to strengthen you with might. That means with power. How? By his what? Spirit. Where does the Spirit located? In the inner man. in your spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in your spirit, and He's there to strengthen you with might, to empower you. Today you have a power. If you're saved today, you've got a power working inside of you that is indescribable and incomprehensible. Look at four verses later. He says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." How is God going to do it? Through an angel coming to us? No. He said God's able to do in your life above anything that you could ask or think according to the power that worketh where? In us. In us. Have you ever heard a Christian pray? And maybe you've prayed it. I'm sure I have. Lord, give me power. Lord, give me power. Give me strength. Lord, give me power. Give me power. Well, what would you think if you heard me all day today going around in between the services saying, Lord, please give me a striped blue suit. Lord, please give me a blue striped suit. Lord, I need a blue striped suit. God, please give me a blue suit with stripes on it. You know what you'd probably say to me if you heard me say that? What would you say? What would you say, Steve, if I was praying for a blue striped suit? He said, you're nuts, whatever that. Yeah, you got one on. Oh, I do? Yeah, I guess I do. You know, that'd be silly, wouldn't it? Well, for a Christian to go around saying, Lord, give me power, well, as believers, we've got the greatest power source already living inside of us. We're praying for something we've already got. You know, it's kind of like a baby. I bring a picture up here. You know, you take a little baby, isn't that cute? Now, when a baby is born, I'm typically speaking, when a baby is born, does a baby have everything it needs to be able to function and live on the earth? Yes or no? Well, sure. It's complete, right? It doesn't get a lung a month later, you know, and then a liver 2 months later. Then it grows a nose, you know, 6 months later. Of course, parents, if we had our way, it wouldn't grow the mouth till it was about 20, right? When they were gone from the house. Then they'd grow the mouth, you know. That's not the way it works. The baby has everything that it needs to function when it's born. So what's the baby's greatest need? The baby's greatest need is to grow and to mature and to begin to use what it already possesses. Now, I hope you're getting the illustration here. When you got saved, you are made complete in Christ the moment you got saved. You got the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You got everything you need the moment you got saved. Your need is just to grow and to mature and to realize all that you already have in Christ and to begin to utilize it. The Bible teaches that we are renewed. That means empowered daily in the inner man. Outwardly, we may feel exhausted. We feel like we can't go on. But in your handout, it says inwardly the Holy Spirit is there to strengthen, empower, and sustain us. The Holy Spirit is there to empower and to sustain us. Go over to chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. Let me show you a great verse there. Okay, if you don't have your Bible, we'll bring it up on the screen too. But in 2 Corinthians 4:16, look at it. It says, "For which cause we faint not." We're not going to give up. "But though our outward man perish," man, you're just exhausted. You feel like you can't go on. "Yet the inward man," that's where the Holy Spirit lives, "is renewed," how much? Day by day. Aren't you glad for that? Let me tell you, as a preacher, sometimes Sundays you're exhausted by Sunday night. Because, you know, I do two on Sunday morning, choir practice, then preach Sunday night. Sometimes you've got counseling appointments, you know, after church. And sometimes you go home and maybe somebody has said something that discouraged you or whatever. And you go home Sunday night and you're exhausted, you're whipped. And I, you know, through the years, I'd be lying to you if I did not tell you that there have been Sunday nights where I'm thinking, I think I just need to resign. You know, I think I just need to give up. Forget this. You know, I just whip. But you know what I found out? Been here now for 20-something years. You know what I found out Monday morning? I'm ready to keep going. Monday morning, I'm ready to tackle it and go at it again. Why? Because the Holy Spirit renews us day by day. Aren't you glad for that? But that's when you rely on Him. A lot of times we don't rely on God's Spirit within us. A lot of times we rely on ourselves, and that's when we get into trouble. And that's why Paul wrote this passage. Let's bring it up, 2 Corinthians. He said, Jesus said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Jesus said, "My strength." Jesus said, "My strength is made perfect, Paul, in your weakness." Then Paul said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Let's go to the next verse. "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake." He said, because you know what I found out? When I'm weak, then am I strong. Why? Because when I'm weak and I can't do it, I have no choice but to rely on God. I have no choice but to rely on His Holy Spirit within me. And that's when God can be glorified. Because it's His strength doing it through me. Some of you in here may be struggling in your marriage, or you're struggling in your job, or you're struggling in a personal relationship, or you're struggling with depression, and you're trying to do it on your own. Well, if you're saved and you know the Lord, He's given you His Spirit to renew you, to empower you, to sustain you, to do in you through His power what you cannot do. Most believers don't realize all that they possess in Christ. We have the unique privilege and blessing in this but now period that we're living in today of being in Christ. Aren't you glad that when you get saved, you're no longer in your sins, you're in Christ. And we are complete in Christ. We lack nothing. We're like that baby. We're complete in Him. Angels are wonderful creatures of God. They've ministered comfort and strength to people in time past. And by the way, angels are busy today. We're going to learn tonight, angels are God's heavenly warriors. And we're going to learn about that in the 6 p.m. service. But we clearly see that we have something better than an angel when it comes to needing comfort and needing strength and power. We see this morning the complete sufficiency that God's provided in our salvation. We're in Christ. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And not only that, but God's also given us His completed Word so that the Holy Spirit inside of us can take this book, reveal it to us, and minister comfort and strength. It says in your handout, any time we need it. The Holy Spirit ministers comfort and strength anytime we need it. Through the Word of God. Aren't you glad this morning that you are complete in Christ? Can you say that with me? Complete in Christ. That's what you are. Complete in Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now.